There we go. All right. So we are on in 1 Peter, Lesson 6, Chapter 3, Part 2. Last week we dealt with wives, and this week we're going to deal with husbands. And so everyone should have a handout. And so just for a really quick review, the theme of 1 Peter is how to live for Christ through suffering. In chapter 1, the trial of your faith being much more precious than... what goes in your blank? You guys should know this by now. Gold. Chapter 2, the Christian is to follow Christ in his sufferings. Chapter 3, which we're on now, the Christian is to suffer for righteousness' sake. Verse 14. So last week we had 6 verses on wives. This week we have 6 verses on husbands. No, actually we just have 1 because husbands don't need near as much instruction. And here's the funny part. It's the husbands that are laughing about that, but should be all of us. No, we need just as much as the wives. It just so happens we only have 1. So let's go ahead and read that, and we're going to break back and look at it. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Okay? So we do just have one verse, but it is packed. And so we're going to look at that. So your first blank there is instructions for husbands. Okay? So we saw likewise, same thing as last week at the beginning when we were talking with the wives in verse 1 of chapter 3, starts off, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection." So that basically was an addition to chapter 2 that we are, as a Christian, we are to submit to authorities in our life. And we are to submit to every ordinance of man. We are to submit to our boss. We are to submit to our government. And that would certainly be, you know, policemen, highway patrolmen, judges, the president, the governor, all of that we're submit to. And so wives are also submit to their husbands, but yet husbands are likewise to submit to people above us, okay? And so, you know, everyone has to submit, even as Christ submitted himself to God the Father. So that's where the likewise comes into. And also, last week, we dealt with one reason that wives were to submit to their husbands, and that we dealt with a lot of some of those were lost husbands, and so they are to submit to their lost husbands specifically and live for Christ so that the husband who's lost would see her life and then desire that he wants Christ in his life as well. And I mentioned I've known men that have been in that boat. And again, I remember one of my really good friends that grew up Catholic, and I'm not trying to pick on the Catholics. He just happened to be a Catholic, and he thought, hey, he grew up, he had religion, he was Catholic, he didn't need any of this Christian, you know, I say Christian may not be the right word. Maybe it was Baptist religion. But after about 6 months, he came into the pastor and he goes, "I thought I was good. I thought I was right with God." But he goes, "I don't have what my wife has." And he goes, "I want what she has." Basically, what did he want? He wanted to get saved. That's what he wanted. He saw the difference in her life and it changed his life. And I've seen other men the same way. So the same thing applies to the husband. Maybe the husband's married to a lost wife. So he needs to also keep that in mind. And he needs to also live his life so she will see Christ in him and hopefully get to that point. So that also fits in that likewise.
Are you supposed to be recording that?
Yes, I'm recording right now. So it's up and running. So here we are in 1 Peter 3:7, and I read that, right? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So first of all, we talked about likewise, but first of all, he says to dwell with them according to knowledge. So really, what does that mean? What is knowledge? And what is wisdom? Well, you're asking good questions today. So, I'll just throw this out. If you were going to show somebody biblically what knowledge is, where would you all take them to in the Bible?
Proverbs 2.
You are right on track, guys. Because this is where I would take them. And so I want to read chapter 2, 1 through 9, because if you have somebody ask you about how do I get knowledge, how do I get wisdom, this is where you need to take them. Okay. In fact, I have on the side of my Bible, on my wide margin, 7 things to do to get understanding, and then God will give you 7 things. So let's read this. It says, Proverbs 2, verse 1 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then, let me just stop, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So, 7 things to get understanding: to receive God's words, to hide his commandments, to incline your ear, to apply your heart to Christ after knowledge, in other words, to pray for it, to seek it out as for silver, and to search it as a treasure. And when you do that, then God will giveth wisdom. And I would define wisdom as seeing things as God sees them. And out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, that being God. God will speak to you. He will layeth up wisdom for you by the Holy Spirit. He is a buckler to us. He will protect us. And he keeps the paths. He particularly takes note of those who hurt and slander you. He will preserve your way, or the way of his saints. And we shall understand righteousness. Wow. There is a lot there. But that is exactly where I would take somebody. Now that is understanding knowledge. So back to where we are in 1 Peter. When it says that we are to, let me get back to our passage here. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. We're not talking about our knowledge. We're talking about the Lord's knowledge. So, we need to dwell with our wives according to God's knowledge. And so, here are some things I have on our chart. So, knowledge goes in your handout under 1. Number 1, you're to love your wife. Now, I know that's pretty well a given, but basically there's one thing that God tells husbands, and that is to love your wife. He tells the wives one thing, which is what? Submit. The wife is to submit to the husband, and the husband is to love the wife. Those two things will help keep our marriages and our faith strong. And so we are to love our wife. Okay? Now, it doesn't say that here in our passage, but I want you to turn over to Ephesians 5, 25. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Okay, so go down to verse 28. Verse 28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And then drop down to 33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you, and particularly, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So here we have three times he tells the husband, love your wife. Now, why do you think he says that? Because men are hard-headed, and they need to realize, you know, three times he tells them here, love your wife, love your wife, love your wife, okay? So we need to realize that. So turn over to Proverbs 10:12. I should have had you hold your place there when we were there not long ago. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." Okay. And so, you want to get along with your wife? Loving them is going to go a long way. Okay? Now, here's the thing, guys. I need this as much as you guys do. And I'm sure my wife's sitting there thinking, yeah, there's times when I wish you would have heeded what you're preaching right now. But I'm in the same boat. I need to love my wife. And I need to realize just how precious she is to me. I hope you guys do too. But B says, "Be not bitter against them." Okay? So back in verse 7, it's talking about dwell with them according to knowledge. And so that's one thing we also need to be. It's not bitter against them. And so we saw that, I think, in Ephesians 5:25 also. But go back to Colossians. I'm just giving you a little more info that will fit along with what Peter is saying. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." Okay, so again, love your wives, and do not be bitter against them. Okay? And then Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. So not only is the Holy Spirit teaching us as husbands how to care for our wives in 1 Peter, we're seeing it all throughout Paul's writings also. And so here we are, Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now that's more than just husbands. That's every Christian in that particular passage. So I just bet husbands would be in that group. So I threw them in there. So we are to love our wife, we are not to be bitter against them. And C, I just kind of threw in here, it says we need to know some things about our wife, like her likes and dislikes. I mean, that's just common sense, right? How many of you husbands know your wife's birthday? Well, you better. You know? You better. And I don't know about you, but let me just tell you how it is in my life. When my wife's birthday is coming up, everything's hitting the fan at my house. All the time. And there's times we kind of have to postpone it because there are so many things going on at that time. Is that not true, Carrie? And
in the end of October.
Yeah. Okay. So it is a busy time in our house, and everything's going on. And I'm like, okay, so we have to kind of, it's your birthday, you know, this is that, but we may have to postpone doing something. But boy, you better stay on track, because it'll come back and clean your clock if I don't. So it just seems like that happens. Anniversary, kind of the same way. You need to know your wife's favorite flowers. Do you guys know your wife's favorite flower? Mine is just flowers. She loves flowers. Now, see, there are some bushes we don't like, but just, you know, mostly because they have thorns on them. But other than that, she likes flowers, bushes. She likes all that. If you come by our house, you'll see it's got flowers all over the place. Okay. In fact, she tells me, she said, I'd rather you don't buy any cut flowers for my birthday. Just buy me another flower I can plant. Okay. Her favorite foods, and I know most of you, you know, your wife has favorite foods, but this is how it goes in my house. Where do you want to go eat? Oh, I don't care. Why don't we go here? Oh, I don't want to go there. Oh, why don't we go here? I don't want to go there either. I don't care where we eat.
But.
What about this one? Okay, let's go there. I don't know if that's how your house happens, but it's kind of funny. It's kind of like, I don't want it. I don't care where we go, but I don't want to go that place. Okay. Well, anyway, that's kind of how it goes. So, know her foods, her favorite color. You need to know that. That's just, you know, part of the course. That was things we learned when we were probably dating her. So we need to keep that in track. Maybe you're in here and you do date somebody and they don't want to know some of these things about you, it's like, okay, maybe I need to keep looking. Okay. So dwell with them according to knowledge. So that's some of the things there. Number two, give honor to your wife. Honor goes in your blank. So here's some things I put on us on the list. Listen to your wife. Listen to your wife. How many of you men have had times when you didn't listen to your wife and it came back and bit you? Many times, right? So listen to your wife. Get advice from her. Okay? Respect her. Realize that she is the weaker vessel. Now, I put some question marks on some of these coming up. So, is she the weaker vessel in knowledge? Question mark. It depends. The man should have more Bible knowledge than the wife, but that's not always the case. I mean, there's been times in my life when my wife asked me questions. I'm the one that went to school. I'm the one that should know things, right? And there are things my wife stumps me with questions all the time in the Bible. It's like, you should have been going to Bible school. So I'm like, so not necessarily. Okay, how about physical strength? Most of the time, the man will be the stronger of the two. And that's the way God designed it. But, you know, that may not be every husband and wife's case. I mean, there are some women out there that they're just downright mean and tough. I used to think I was mean and tough, and I'm the powder puff anymore, I'm telling you. What's that, Sharon?
They sometimes have the wisdom to use that strength that you don't have. You just want to go in and brute strength something, and they will say, okay, it should be done this way.
Using a little leverage on it. Okay, yeah. I remember my wife telling me one time I'm trying to get a wheel off a vehicle, and she goes, well, put a little WD-40 on that. I'm like, I've tried everything else. Okay, let's put some on it. Guess what? It came on. But anyway, get advice from her. Respect her. Realize she's the weaker vessel, maybe in, not necessarily, but could be in knowledge. It could be in physical strength. But here's where I do believe where the wife is the weaker vessel. It's in emotional strength. and it's in spiritual attacks. Okay? So spiritually, it is more easy for a woman to be tricked than it is a man spiritually. And you'll say, well, prove that to me. Okay? We'll turn over. Yeah, we don't have to go too far, do we? And so we're going to look at that, but turn over to 1 Timothy 2, 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 2, 14 and 15 says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. So verse 15 is one of those verses that's really hard to nail down. But basically, one of the times that women are very easily deceived is when they're pregnant. It's like their hormones are running. And so, that's one time that, you know, your wife may not be real practical when she's pregnant. But also, we saw Adam and Eve, that Eve was the one that was deceived, not Adam. Adam, when he sinned, he had his eyes wide open, and he basically, here's what he did. I'm going to either do what God wants me to do, or I'm going to follow what the wife wants to do. And you know, he had that love for the wife. For his wife, and he went with his wife. Bad mistake. But at the same time, even if he should have went with God, and even so, God would not have thrown Eve under the bus. Because he, you know, it could have been, I've always wondered about this, he could have just said, God, the woman you gave me, you know, messed up, which he basically threw her under the bus anyway, and she messed up. I just need a new one. He didn't say that though, did he? He loved her, and so he stuck with her. He should have just said, yeah, she made a mistake. And you know what? The Lord would not have thrown her. He didn't throw Eve under the bus either, because he didn't throw Adam or Eve under the bus. The Lord took care of both of them. He made a way out for both of them. But it was the woman who is weaker spiritually. So turn over to 2 Corinthians also. 11:3. I'll probably need to stop. I'll just dig myself a hole if I keep going. But 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Again, another reference to Eve having a spiritual attack from Satan, and she was deceived. So she will be the weaker vessel in a spiritual sense. And I believe also in an emotional strength sense also. So, as husbands, we need to just realize that. That's just the way that it is. Okay. But yet, the woman has strengths that the man doesn't have. You know, I was watching this YouTube video yesterday of one of the senators, I think it was Kennedy, and he had this woman on there. He goes, so can a woman get pregnant? And she goes, absolutely. I mean, I'm sorry, can a man get pregnant? And she says, absolutely, without blinking an eye. And he's like, so he looks at the rest of the senators and he goes, are you hearing this? It's like, so let me ask you this again. Can a man get pregnant? And the woman says, and this woman says, yes. And I'm like, unbelievable. Because we know that is physically impossible for a man to get pregnant. Okay. So, my point saying, what I said that because men probably couldn't go through childbearing because we don't have that type of strength. But women do. So, I'm just throwing that out there. Women have strength that men don't have. It's just a different kind. So, number three. It says we are being heirs together back in first Peter. It says, let me read the verse again. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Of course, we saw that it's God's knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife, it's unto the weaker vessel, specifically on the spiritual application. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. And so, what's that mean by being heirs together? Well, number one, we are heirs together here as husband and wife, physically, in all that we have. Okay? You know, if I would pass away today, I mean, who's my heir, basically, that would get all my good stuff? Carrie would, right? She would get all that good stuff. She probably wouldn't want all of it, but she would get all of it. And so we are heirs together. We are in this marriage together physically. Okay? And so we are heirs together physically, but we are also heirs spiritually. So we are both equal in the body of Christ. So, you know, you've got some of these men that get this high attitude that they are above women. No, they're not, okay? It's specifically in the body of Christ. Go over to Romans chapter 8. And I think we all know that. I'm thinking I'm speaking to the choir. But I have known men, I've known pastors that just have this air about them, and they think that they are so superior to certain people, and the way they treat their wife, I know they thought they were superior to their wife. And got a major problem with that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17 says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Does it say husbands? No. It says we are. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we, I thought this is interesting, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And let me just read 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us, which kind of fits right in with 1 Peter, that those that live godly shall suffer persecution, and we're going through that. But the whole point is that we are husband and wife, that we are children of God, and we are equal in the body of Christ. And so for these high-minded men or husbands that think that they're above certain people, they're either above people in their church, or they're above people in their family, or they're above their own wife, in the body of Christ, we're all children of God, and we are all equal standing. God is not a respecter of persons. See, your wife is not your possession. She belongs to who, guys? She belongs to Christ. We need to realize that. Okay. And D says, you should not lord over your wife, you should not ignore her, and you should not abuse her. Okay? So, that's all under being heirs together. And then, number four, consequences of not obeying Christ in these commands. Because we saw in verse 7, it says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I'm thinking of a man specifically that I thought lorded over his wife. In fact, he lorded over a lot of people. And I'm like, I wonder how this worked with him being a pastor, because his prayers were going to be hindered because of his attitude. And I wasn't around him that much to see that, but I'm like, if you're a pastor and your prayers are hindered, you're hurting. You're in big problems, because that is crucial to a pastor. But it's also crucial to a husband. It's crucial to anybody. You know, our prayer life is when, you know, we are talking to the Lord and He's working through our life, and it's like when our prayers are hindered, that is something that we've got to stop and take care of. And so consequences of not obeying Christ in these commands, your prayers will not be answered. Answered goes in your blank. They will be hindered. And again, let me put this out. Some people might think, well, this is to punish you. No. That is not God's intent. If you read that and you go, well, you know, I really don't want to be nice to my wife, but if I'm not nice to my wife, then my prayers won't be. No, you're missing the whole point. Okay? The whole point is to keep us on track as a couple and as a husband. Okay? The Lord put this in here that your prayers would be not answered or hindered because He wants us to take care of the situation and not let it fester and not let it go farther, because He needs the couple on track. He needs the husband on track. He needs the family on track. And so that's there not to punish us, but to make sure as a safeguard to keep us on track. So the husband and the wife are, well, the husband and the wife complete each other. I put on the bottom. They are to serve Christ together to fulfill the Great Commission. And in this letter, Peter is giving instruction on how to have a Christ-like life, a focused life, a pilgrim's life, a life that Christ will be pleased with, as well as us at the judgment seat of Christ. Again, we need to keep our focus on the judgment seat of Christ. We need to stop and check ourselves. How are we going to be when we stand before Christ at that judgment? And again, we won't be giving an account of our sins. We're going to be giving our account of our service. And it will all take place there. And if God has given you a spouse, you are to work together to accomplish the mission that He has given us. Some people are doing a good job doing that on their own. They don't need it. God has given them the ability to do that without a spouse. But some people, He's given a spouse to do the same mission, whether you're married or not. What's our mission? To fulfill the Great Commission and to serve Christ, to give our life for Him, and to not get entangled in the life that we have. You know, I think that's probably one of our number one problems. We get too entangled in this world and not serving the Lord. I know that's definitely in my life. There's things in it. I'm like, wow, I'm too entangled. I need to unload some things in my life. In fact, right now I need to unload some things. And I'm talking about some of the other people in here about moving and moving this and moving that. Oh my gosh, why do we have all the stuff that we have? You drive up and down. On the way here this morning, all I saw was Prime trucks. One of them was broke down north of Peculiar. You see semis running back with just, you see pickups with trailers, just one right after another, and I'm like, What's going on here?
Storage units popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
To store extra stuff.
To store our stuff that we can't put in our own house. In my subdivision, everybody almost has a three-car garage. And guess what? They can't park their cars in them.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got a three-car garage. On the outer road out here is a double-car garage on the house. And all their cars are sitting out in the driveway. And one day, I think I went by there, and one of the garage doors was up, and the reason it's full of stuff. And I'm like, why do we have all this stuff? It is entangling us in this world. And you know what? We just need to realize we're just passing through. And that's why the Bible tells us that God will give us food and raiment. That's all He promises He's going to give us. Because why? That's really all we need. Food, raiment, place to lay our head. That's it. And so we need to think about that in the Word of God. So I'm going to stop right there. So we'll start up again next week. But I wanted to spend some time just on husbands and wives. And again, I know we know this stuff, guys. You know it. But it's in the book, and if it's in the book that we're going through, we're going to see it. We're going to preach on it. The sufferings that we see here. And like I said, everybody in this room has been going through sufferings. You're going through sufferings right now. And yet, people on our list, they're going through sufferings. And the Bible says that if you live godly, you shall suffer persecution. So we need to just know it. We need to just suck it up, buttercup. And we just need to live our life for the Lord and let Him work it out and let Him deal with it. Because we have somebody we can bring it to. We can just bring all our problems to the Lord and let Him deal with it. And He'll do a better job than we are. And so I'm going to stop there. Let's pray and then we'll get out of here. Father in heaven, we do thank You for loving us. We thank You for loving us so much, Lord, that You died for our sins. You were buried, You rose again. Because of that, because of Your resurrection, You have the power and the strength to forgive us our sins, to give us the promises that You've given us, a relationship with You, a home in heaven, eternal life, all those things that You've given us. We praise You for that, Lord, and we want them, Lord, and they can't come soon enough. But Lord, we just thank You for that. I just pray that we would see that, and that we would live our lives for You, Lord, that we would not be entangled in this world, that we would realize that we're going to suffer and that we would go through it, and that we just put our cares back to You and just live our life for You, Lord. I just pray for our group right here today that's here, maybe the people that are listening, and Lord, just help us to be aware of the things that are going on and to focus on what's important. And we just ask Your blessing on it in Christ's name. Amen.